ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, welcome back to ER101. My guest, Dr. Roddy Vukmir, an expert on, and we're talking about antibiotic overuse today and antibiotic resistance. And so the issue is with fevers, a lot of times it can mean bacterial infections, but kids get higher fevers, right? So sometimes theirs are just viral.
Sure. So again, if you look at the fever sort of parameters for a child, they're actually a little higher. You know, actually, I often tell parents, you know, 39 degrees or 102. The other thing that's really kind of helpful here, I think, is that, you know, there are sort of educational parameters that are available to parents and the physicians. You know, the CDC, as you know, has come out pretty forcefully here and have provided education for both groups. And, you know, they you know, had the Get Smart campaign, which came out in 2012, and really allows parents to look at each of these disease entities as described for both adults and for pediatric patients and to say, well, you know, where does my child or where do I fit into this? And oftentimes, you know, if you have a little bit of ED downtime, people are often there. They're on their smartphone. They're on their computer. And I direct them to the site and, you know, have them do some research. And by the time I come back, then, you know, we've often already come to a decision.
Right. And it's good because, you know, calling your doctor or getting, checked out if you really are concerned that your child has a fever. And I think now it's so convenient with these walk-in clinics and these urgent cares that people are coming sooner. But the key to think about is, you know, you don't want in the long run. So if you bring your child in with a fever and a sore throat and they do the strep screen and it's negative and the doctor says, look, your kid looks good. This is just a fever. Why don't you ride it out? I think people should do that. And, you know, doctors sometimes are guilty too, very busy. It's easier to just, you know, give something and move on to the next than really talk about it. But I think I'm seeing more educated patients too that are coming in and wanting to say, okay, well, you know, is it a virus? Do I need it? And do I not? Right. And the problem is, as a whole of society, wouldn't you agree, Dr. Vukmir, that we're using antibacterial this and that, and then we're using so many antibiotics, and that's the danger, obviously, is the resistance.
Well, and again, you raise a valid point. You know, they've actually studied, you know, sort of households that use routine, you know, over-the-counter antibacterial sort of scrubs and find that in a lot of cases it actually breeds resistance in the home. And, you know, again, it has a bacterial flora that's more analogous to a hospital than it is to a regular home.
Wow. Which brings the next interesting and kind of frightening point up is, you know, I hate to say that I've practiced long enough to remember when MRSA, and now everybody, excuse me, knows about MRSA. At one time, it was only doctors in hospitals knew about these resistant, penicillin-resistant bugs. And now it's just commonplace in society. And that's what people don't realize. These little bugs are pretty tricky. So we can keep coming up with new, improved antibiotics. But guess what? It takes a couple of generations of these bugs to develop resistance. And it's frightening. ID specialists are completely freaking out these days, wouldn't you say?
No, I think you raise a valid point. You know, as you said, you know, back in the early days, you know, there was, you know, the first resistant bug was MRSA, and, you know, people had a pretty good beat on that. It occurred in hospitals, and then all of a sudden, you know, a few years back, it then became something that became community acquired, and people had to change their practice. We saw a lot of cutaneous abscesses, and we had to change the antibiotic profile. The thing that's most important is to recognize that, you know, just as a simple sort of recommendation, you know, bacteria are resistant to what they see. So if your local practice is to use X, Y, or Z antibiotic in every case of this disease, there will typically be a resistance pattern established. So then quickly we progressed to VRE, which was, you know, vancomycin-resistant enterococci. And then, you know, people had a general sense of that. They, you know, they would not use Cipro anymore. They may use an Augmentin or an Amoxicillin. And now, you know, there are newer organisms and newer resistance patterns that include, you know, extended-spectrum beta-lactamases and, you know, carbapenem-resistant, you know, Enterobacteriaceae like Klebsiella.
Yeah, these CREs they talk about. And I think what people don't understand, and it does sound a little bit like alphabet soup to the regular person, but, you know, maybe you're not going to have resistance right now, but eventually you're going to age. You know, we keep bacteria that actually live in our bodies, right? And don't you think that as time goes on and eventually you get that hip put in or something, that you're going to come across an antibiotic that you need, you personally, you know, and perhaps you've already got some resistant bugs in your gut. And when you're young and healthy, it's not as much of an issue. But then you have a surgery, you get older, and it becomes an issue for you. So this is something that has potential down the road for people if they overuse.
Sure. You know, you are absolutely correct on that point. If you look at the highest risk groups for resistant strains, it's the people that you would think, those that get cancer chemotherapy, those that get complex surgery, people that have complex intra-abdominal surgery are at risk. People that have conditions where they are already receiving immunosuppressants, so patients like that have rheumatoid arthritis or that have Crohn's disease or asthma, where they're routinely getting sort of these system immunosuppressants at risk. And again, obviously transplant patients and those are on dialysis. So you raise an absolutely valid point here regarding the resistance patterns.
So, and, you know, I was pretty lucky with my kid. He was one of these kids that anything that tasted bad, he just spit out. And I think his first few episodes of ear infection as a child, I couldn't even give it to him. He just kept spitting it out and making himself vomit. And so we've had several ear infections when he was little that he never got anything. I was like, well, let's just watch him and see how it goes. And to tell you the truth, the kid's 17 now, and I think I can count on one hand how many times he's taken antibiotics, which is a rarity, people are telling me, you know? I mean, it's just become way too commonplace. What can we tell people? There's some tips and personal things that they can do to help prevent exposure to resistance and yet take care of themselves. What would you advise people to do?
Well, you know, you raised another valid point in that interim is, you know, this is pervasive in the environment. You know, we've talked about the physician component and medication treatment, but one of the largest components that's still in the environment is antibiotics as food additives. It's a whole separate discussion, but, you know, people right. need to make intelligent choices about lifestyle, about foods that are brought into the home. And, you know, that's really up to each individual person to sort of make that point of discussion. Now, what can they do to help themselves? Again, a lot of it has to do with personal choices. You know, read a little bit about the use of, you know, these antibacterial scrubs. Some people suggest that, you know, sticking with a simpler product, you know, has just an appropriate capability as some of these antibactericidals. Being cognizant of the fact that the overuse of antibiotics is clearly related to this issue. And again, discussing it with your physician can also be helpful.
Yeah, I always tell people, tough it out a little bit. Don't go to the doctor the first day with sore throat and sniffles, you know, looking for treatment and antibiotics. See how you do over time and, you know, try not to demand them. And if the doctor gives them to you, you know, ask them, is this the shortest course possible? We've even seen with urinary tract infections now, sometimes 3 days of antibiotics, 5 days certainly are good enough. So use the shortest course, never use leftovers from friends and family, and just pay attention to what you're doing. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well.